This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Venaria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
Well, the president just wrapped up a big, big speech and press conference at Mar-a-Lago, and he signed an executive order on fertility. Yes, IVF. We're going to talk about that as well this hour. Welcome to our happy hour brought to you by the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. It's great to be here with you, and we're very, very excited and happy that hopefully we are going to be going to the White House tomorrow. But either way, summer's right around the corner. You should book your trip at the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey today for your summer vacation. It's never too early to do so, so get working on that. Plus, they've got lots of great promotions available for spring break, which is also, believe it or not, right around the corner. 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zeoli. So I want to mention that one of the things that the president did here today was he signed an executive order expanding access to IVF in vitro fertilization, directs a new policy recommendations to reduce IVF costs and protect access, recognize the importance of family formation, and that public policy must make it easier for loving and longing mothers and fathers to have children. This is delivering on a key promise to protect IVF and smacks down Democratic talking points that Republicans oppose IVF. That just happened now. And there you go. So that was what led to the executive order signings, what led to essentially now the press conference that just happened. DOGE is estimated to have saved $55 billion in government savings so far. And just as we went to break, a federal judge in Washington, D.C. gave President Trump a victory for now when she declined on Tuesday to bar Elon Musk and his associates from having access to data at seven federal agencies or Elon's involvement in mass firings. And this is a name you're going to know. This is Judge Tanya Chutkan. That was the judge who presided over the whole Jack Smith case in D.C. In an order on Tuesday, Judge Tanya Chutkan in Federal District Court in Washington wrote that a coalition of 14 state attorneys general had failed in seeking an emergency halt to show specific examples of how Mr. Musk's team and their sweeping data collection efforts could cause those states imminent or irreparable harm. The court is aware that DOGE's unpredictable actions have resulted in considerable uncertainty and confusion for plaintiffs and many of their agencies and residents, the judge wrote, referring to the Department of Government Efficiency, tasked with carrying out Mr. Musk's vision. But the possibility that defendants may take actions that irreparably harm plaintiffs is not enough. Okay, now this is a key. This is a key point, and this is something that I think is important to note. The deep state pushing back on DOGE, the deep state pushing back on exposing the spending and exposing the craziness of waste and fraud and abuse. And remember, I said it's really not waste, because if it's, if I said to you it's waste, but people are getting the money, the people getting the money don't think it's waste. It's a waste of our taxpayer dollars, but it's not a waste in that sense. One thing I do want to mention, though, I was joking earlier about, tomorrow we're going to go to the White House. Hopefully, we have no details as of right now, Matt DeSantis. Is that correct?
No, I did speak with him briefly. As far as we know, we're still going. We just don't have any details as to what we're doing there once we get there.
No details on when to check in,
nothing.
I mean, it's not like we're going to Chuck E. Cheese. Like, there's a process. You got to go through Secret Service. There's like a whole thing.
I have a time as to when our stuff is supposed to start.
Okay.
I know what room we have to be in. I don't know how we actually, like, get into the White House.
I know there's a gate. We go through the gate. That I know.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we could jump over the fence. A lot of people do that, but that doesn't work out well in the end.
See, I was going to ring the doorbell and hope for the best. But,
well, you got to go through the gate first. The doorbell is actually on.
Great. Is it like a Ring doorbell?
It is a Ring video doorbell. Yeah. Well, I mean, he's in Mar-a-Lago. He gets to keep an eye on the place. So it's a Ring video doorbell.
But no details. I have no idea what's happening.
I know the room. I know the times. We just don't know what time, because we got to check in. We got to go through security. They have to screen all of our stuff, all the equipment.
That's the other thing. We don't know what we're actually allowed to bring.
That's the other thing. I don't know what we're allowed to bring. So there's that, too.
And we also don't know who we're speaking with.
We don't know that either. We know we're speaking to the assistant undersecretary the assistant to the special undersecretary envoy for special operations. That I know. But beyond that, I don't know. It's like getting invited to somebody's house and they're not going to be there, and you get stuck with their in-laws.
My dad asked me, who are you supposed to be speaking with? I said cabinet officials, and he said, are you sure it's just not the people installing cabinets at the White House? It could be.
It could be. Yeah, for all I know. It's like, yeah, how you doing? I'm Hank. What do you do, Hank? Cabinets. Yeah, I refurbish cabinets in the Eisenhower Executive Office Building. It's an old building, and in the East Wing and whatnot. So you're not a cabinet secretary? No, but I can't say that out loud, but you know what I mean. All right, well, we'll see. I mean, it's just last time we did this, we got on the air at 6. We had to be there at like 4 a.m. to go through security, set up, check in, like do all that stuff when we were in morning drive back in 2019.
Yeah, I assume that the Secret Service clearance is not going to be brief.
You're bringing in all this gear. So it's all metal, too. I mean, you know what I mean? So they got to inspect it visually by hand. All right. Well, we'll see how this goes. I mean, I don't know. At this point, we might be across the street in Lafayette Park looking at the White House. Right? I mean, there's that possibility. What did you say, Justin?
I said, it doesn't help that some of the bags of the equipment Matt's bringing look like rifle bags.
No, that doesn't help either. No, that never helps.
By the way, walking around with those bags at the RNC convention was the worst experience of my life.
Oh, yeah. So, because it was right after the assassination attempt at Butler.
Yeah.
And here we are walking around with the banners, long, big black bags over our shoulders. How you doing? How are you? Sharpshooters on every roof pointing at us. We're like, just my Zeoli Army banner. Army? What? No.
I could see the lasers actually trained on your chest. Yeah.
It's not a militia. It's not. No, it's a thing we do. The president knows about it. Anyway, all right. Let me play this, though. I want to get to this clip because it's very important to Pennsylvania. And a little bit later in the show, we're also going to talk to Senator Mike Testa of New Jersey. The electricity rates in New Jersey are soaring. This absolutely affects everybody in our region. It's something called the Board of Public Utilities. There are shadow governments that are not just on the federal level. They're also on the state and local level, too. And these shadow governments raise prices on consumers. They waste our money. And you are about to get hit. So if you're in Pennsylvania and you're listening to me, you have a shore house, or you're in New Jersey and you're about to get hit with, at minimum, of a 17% increase in your electricity rates this summer from the corrupt Board of Public Utilities in New Jersey, okay? But it could be as high as 25%. So we're going to talk about that as the show continues. But, you know, last week we had Senator Dave McCormick on, and we talked about the avian bird flu. Now, this is a real thing. It's really happening. It's the goal here is to prevent the bird flu from transmitting to people, although they tell us it's safe to eat the chicken and it's safe to eat the eggs, although I've stopped my regimen of cracking raw eggs, drinking it like Rocky, and running through the Italian market, which is what I have been doing for the last several years. I've stopped doing that, obviously, because I can't use my foot, and also I don't drink raw eggs. But anyway, but the plan, though, the Biden administration just decided to just kill chickens. That was their plan, just slaughter chickens, and they slaughtered millions of them. And I think they did this on purpose for two reasons. Number one, they hate animals. This is the administration that allowed puppies to be tortured under Fauci, transgender lab rats to be experimented on, whatever the hell that means, whatever the hell a transgender lab rat is. They took out the voice boxes of beagles. So it was a barbaric administration. And then they decided to slaughter millions of chickens right before Trump takes office so that egg prices would soar and they could turn around and blame it on him. Kevin Hassett, local guy, by the way, brilliant economist, local guy, big fan of the show. And his mom listens. So Mama Hassett, if you're listening, hello. Kevin listens too, but he's busy at the White House working today. Maybe we'll see him tomorrow. Although at the rate this is going, Kevin will be out running, like doing like a Starbucks run when I'm there. So I'm not even getting my hopes up to see Kevin. But they have a plan to deal with this avian flu, which is very serious for Pennsylvania agriculture and just egg prices in the United States of America in general. It's one of those areas where a quote unquote local issue being Pennsylvania agriculture affects the entire country. And that's why Senator Dave McCormick stepping up on it. But everyone's affected by this. This is their plan to deal with it. Cut number 10.
The Biden plan was to just, you know, kill chickens. And they spent billions of dollars just randomly killing chickens within a perimeter where they found a sick chicken. And so you go, I just went to the grocery store. I shopped for our family in part because I love to look at prices. And there were no eggs at the store yesterday, just a few. And so that happened because they killed all the chickens. And so what we need to do is have better ways with biosecurity and medication and so on to make sure that the perimeter doesn't have to kill the chickens. We have a better, smarter perimeter. And so having a smart perimeter is what we're working on, and we're finalizing the ideas about how to do that with the best scientists in government. And that's the kind of thing that should have happened a year ago. And if it had, then egg prices would be, you know, a lot better than they are now. But the avian flu is a real thing. And, and by the way, it's spread mostly by ducks and geese. And so think about it. They're killing chickens to stop the spread, but chickens don't really fly. The spread is happening from the geese and the ducks. And so why does it make any sense to have a big perimeter of dead chickens when it's the ducks and the geese that are spreading it?
Yeah. All right. So if you think, and again, this is if your conspiracy radar is on about the slaughter of millions of chickens right before President Trump takes office, you're right to think that. You really are. You're right to think that, because I think that's exactly what the game plan was here. I really do. I think it was exactly what the plan was. What is this now? What am I getting? Trump totally disrespected you. Yeah, and I agree. He totally did. Absolutely no doubt about it. Come to my house and visit. Okay, great. You get there and it's your crazy in-laws. That's what this White House visit is the equivalent of that. It's like me inviting DeSantis over for wood-fired pizza. He gets there. I'm gone. It's Mama Zioli, Papa Zioli, and Bridget and I, we're out of there. That's what this is like. No, it's even worse. It's Bridget's family.
I'd like to hang out with Mama Zioli.
Yeah, you would like to, but Bridget's family, like, I can't believe you work for Trump. He's responsible for this madman. I got this from my vegan nutbag friend who I think might be related to that transgender cult in California based on his text. I didn't think so up until this moment. Quote, you all deserve to be poisoned by the animals you kill for food. Hashtag beyond bird flu. Now, I'm not going to say who that is.
But very angry.
Very angry. But I do want to just mention this is a good way to segue into the story that I teased many, many hours ago about this transgender vegan cult in California. It's called Trantifa. Did you know that? It's Trantifa. That's a real thing.
Is it really?
Apparently, Trantifa. The leader is Jack Andrea Ziz, and his co-member Michelle J. Zacco have been arrested. They were caught in Allegheny County, Maryland. So this was a lunatic group in California where they were transgender murdering vegans, which, again, was my Blondie cover band name in college. We are transgender murdering vegans. By the way, doesn't it seem a little bit counterintuitive if you're a vegan and you murder people? Like, isn't that kind of... Because technically we're animals, aren't we?
That's a good point.
I'm just, you know, throwing it out there. But anyway, the rural Western Maryland area where the Trantifa terror cult members were found and arrested, they were heavily armed, were almost let go, but they aroused further suspicion when they refused to identify themselves. Maryland State Police were out in full detail, according to Andy and Go, and the FBI as well, and they've arrested the leaders of this whack job group, which we talked to our buddy Dr. Wilfred Riley about that, of this Trantifa trans terror cult. And just so you know, Andy is gay. He's not an anti-LGBTQ IA, every letter of the alphabet person. So when he's saying this, he's not intending to be transphobic or whatever else the left would throw out. This group is literally a trans terror cult known as Ziz. And it was Dr. Riley who brought this to our attention last week. We have not heard about this much in the liberal mainstream corporate media. Leftist trans militants. So there you go. One of the people believed to be in the country on an H-1B visa from Germany. And they all have crazy names like Felix Ophelia Bocalt and Milo Youngblut, who goes by Zzemzers. Not to be confused with Caesar salad. Zzemzers. All right. So that's what's happening over there. And these are some crazy, crazy freaking people. And one of the people is, of course, suspected of killing a Border Patrol agent in Canada. All right. Now, as far as freedom of speech goes, I got to tell you, J.D. Vance, I loved what he had to say in Europe. This notion that freedom of speech led to the rise of Nazism is just absolutely ridiculous. The founders were acutely aware of tyranny. And they understood that freedom of speech is the only way to prevent tyranny, that and a heavily armed population. It's why the First and Second Amendments are so crucial to that. Also, I always view the Bill of Rights as a beautiful symphony to protect you from your government. That's how I view it. Some people view the Bill of Rights as rights the government has given you. That is not true. It's incorrect. The Bill of Rights, if you read it from the perspective of this is a beautiful symphony written to protect me from my government. And you understand the context here by you have freedom of speech, you can protest, you can report on your government without any consequences. Congress shall make no law. You the people are armed, and a militia of the people can be called up, but it is the people who are armed that comprise the militia. As was affirmed in the Heller decision, obviously, by Justice Antonin Scalia. The government can't just come into your home without a warrant, and you have the right to remain silent. The government can't quarter troops in your home because that would be intimidation of the citizenry into submitting to tyranny. And on it goes. I mean, it really is a beautiful symphony of protecting you from your government. But freedom of speech has always prevented tyranny because people could speak out against oppression. So the first thing that dictators do, whether you're Pol Pot, you're Stalin, you're Hitler, you're Justin Trudeau's dad, the first thing you do is, oh, got him. He wasn't paying attention. Look at that, Justin. That's a win. Score one for me right there.
I heard
you didn't hear it.
I did it. Well, I didn't hear it live, but then after you pointed it out, I replayed what you said in my head, and I heard it the second go.
He definitely replayed it in his head.
Yeah, he replayed it in his head because he wasn't paying attention. He tuned out.
Sorry, I was reading an email.
Oh, look, Democrats are hitting up George Soros to build a left-wing Joe Rogan. Well, now, look at what they're discussing on The Five. Democrats hit up George Soros to build a left-wing Joe Rogan. Apparently, he bought Odyssey. I didn't know. I haven't checked my corporate email in quite some time now. Did you know that?
Are we about to change format? Is that what?
I don't know. And also, I'm overdue for my compliance training again.
I haven't done one of those in ages.
Yeah, this one has some 682 days overdue for my compliance training. And apparently, Soros bought Odyssey. So, So there's that.
Maybe I shouldn't say this on air, but I did notice that some of these, if you just let them slip long enough, they forget to remind you and you never have to take them.
Well, that's a huge thing. I hope nobody from corporate's listening right now.
I was like, you're getting an email as soon as the show's over.
I hope nobody from corporate's listening right now.
I don't think they are.
No, they're definitely not. No. Please. They don't even know what AM radio is. That's number one. Number two, they are easily not paying attention to something on NPR. Okay. Dems tap Soros and the Obama pod bros to create a media strategy. Is the new show going to be... Is there something I'm not being told by the Darth Stalker? Do I need to get a memo from corporate? I could do this. Here's what we're going to do. Ready? I got a whole thing. Justin, cue up that song. You know the song I told you not to play last week? Remember the one?
Oh, God. What song? Oh, jeez.
I'm going to tell you in your microphone. Here's what we're going to do. This is going to be easy. All right. Here's what we're going to do. Hang on. Hold on a second. Hold that thought. Hang on.
Where are you going?
No, talk. Just talk for a minute.
Nobody wants to hear the Matt DeSantis and Justin Otero show. I'm certain of that. Where did he go? He's not even in the studio any longer. Is he still in there?
I don't know where he went.
Well, we have no host, so it's the Matt and Justin show. Justin, you have anything you want to talk about?
I'm trying to bring up this song. It's not playing.
Oh, I think we got some time because he's still not back in his chair. What is taking him? He's gone. Well, oh, he's back.
Okay, almost fell. Gotta remember, I can't really use this foot.
You missed a lot of riveting radio while you were gone, by the way.
All right, so I've had this in my locker since a long time ago. This was one of my original Bernie Sanders bald heads. Now, go ahead, Justin, cue it. Here we go. Yeah. This is the new show, Afternoon Drive, with the Pod Bros. I'm bald. A little bit of... Got a CNN show. I'm going to just cover this up with this hair. If you're on YouTube. And my new name is Rich Merkonish. And I'm already endorsing for president in 2028. Very proud to endorse my favorite Democrat, Chris Christie. Oh, wait, he's a Republican. Very proud to endorse for president already in 2028. Governor, His Royal Ruggedness King Philip the Unaccountable Murphy. Yes. This is fantastic. Look, I look good bald, don't I? I could totally pull this off.
Yeah, sure.
Everything I've been saying to you all these years, it's a bunch of BS. We got to be in the middle. I need purple. Give me purple. Somebody get me purple. I can't do it, but I do like wearing this wig, though. I'm not going to lie. You see, this is the joy of doing YouTube. You see, if you didn't do YouTube right now, you could not see this. Can somebody tell Fox to please take that chyron off? Dems tap Soros and Obama pod bros to create media strategy. By the way, shameless plug on Thursday. I'll be on with Dana Perino, and then we'll be taping something later in the day. Very special thing I can't tell you about right now, but I'll tell you about later. So, do you think this is a good look? I mean, what's the YouTube chat saying, Justin? Do they like the look?
It's just a bunch of laughter. Everybody saying nice. Oh, OMG.
The glasses, you do look a little like Bernie now, actually.
Yeah, now I do. This is fantastic. Listen, what we need is we need to be in the middle. Not on the right or the left. In the middle, okay? That's what we need. And by the middle, I mean left. By the middle, I mean saying all the things the left wants to hear so that I can get a show on MSNBC or CNN. All right? I think this is... I got something here. This is good. We got something. Richie Merkonish.
I wonder who you're referencing.
I'm just hypothetical, and I did run out of the studio with my foot. Can you believe I just, that was the first time I've run in months.
I thought you went to the corner of the studio or something, and
no.
Then when I peered in there, I was like, oh, no, he's actually gone.
No, I had to go to my locker and get this wig. I knew I had the wig. I knew I had the bald wig. So I'm bald, and I'm liberal, and I'm loving it. And I say to the Obama pod bros, bring it on. You're all boring anyway. I can do good liberal radio. I'll do Air America. It's going to be like this. Ready? Here's how you do it. Because they're all boring. They're all freaking boring on the left. You notice that? None of them are entertaining because they all talk like they're that same monotone NPR, the pod bros, all of them. You want to do it right? Here's what you got to do. Ready? You got to do something like this. You got to say, hang on. This hour is brought to you by corrupt billionaire bastards, and you and I will take it over together. Now, this hour, I'm opening the phone lines. Go ahead, Sam in Cleveland Park. Go ahead, what's your question? Get to it, dumbass, I'm busy.
That's how you got to do it. You see what I mean? That's the way. Actually, we have Bernie. Can we play 13? The Bernie's idea to save America is going to be the theme of my new show of Richie Mirkonish in the afternoons with my bald head. And so this is going to be what we need to do. This will be the theme of the show. And it's also going to, I want sponsors. How about Jaguar? Can I get Jaguar? Jaguar, where our cars are as fluid as the transmission. The transmission is literally a tranny. Can we get Jaguar back?
You probably get Jaguar, yeah.
Jaguar. For the elite bastards who don't listen to talk radio and listen to NPR. Justin, work with me on this. Come on, you went to broadcasting school. You know what I'm talking about. This audience right now, the Zioli Army, is a bunch of hardworking, highly successful people. I need to appeal to people that have lots of college debt and grind coffee for a living and complain. Can we do that? That's the theme. That's our new target audience. And they're white women who lecture everybody, mostly white liberal women, and they lecture everybody on how to live.
I'll try and work on getting us a Nespresso sponsorship since that's George Clooney's main
Is that
main
really?
Guy. Yeah.
Oh, perfect.
He does Nespresso ads all the time.
I love Clooney. He was the best. He did a coup. He overthrew Joe Biden. It was great. Love Clooney. Loved him in Ocean's 11, too. What a great movie that was. Fantastic.
You could definitely get a Ben & Jerry's sponsorship.
Oh, Ben & Jerry's, right. Yeah.
But eat the Cop Killer ice cream. It's delicious. Robert F. Kennedy should ban every ingredient in this freaking thing, but until he does, Richie Mirkonish is my flavor. It's lots of nuts, no flavor. It's bland as hell, has no strong taste. No strong opinions, and you can put it in either the right side or the left side of your freezer. It doesn't matter.
What do you think of that? I got my own flavor now.
Somebody in the YouTube chat said, if you want to really appeal to your new audience, it's not trans enough. Your new name should be Rachel Mirkonish.
I like it. Rachel Mirkonish. That's better. You're right. It's good that HR just walked by as I'm wearing a wig right now. This is helpful. She's probably like, what is happening in there? Don't worry about it.
First day back in the studio.
First day back
in
the studio in 9 years. And HR walks by. Just keep going. Don't worry about it. Okay, this is Rachel Mirkonish. This is Air America Redux. Right here. We're bringing it back. We're bringing it back. And I'll tell you all the problems I have with Trump. Ready? Number one, I don't want America to be great. We don't deserve to be great. We don't deserve it because we should not be great. Number two, I like open borders. I want people to come. Who's going to cut my lawn and bag my groceries like Bette Midler said and Barbara Streisand said? Who? And also, I don't want peace. I like war. I love war. I like dead people because that gets my. I got lots of stocks in Lockheed Martin and Halliburton. What else? And I don't want to be healthy. I don't want the Maha. I like fluoride in the water. I'm drinking extra fluoride. I'm injecting fluoride in my veins. I actually am trying to buy that on the streets of Philadelphia, not fentanyl. I want fluoride. That's what I want. This is why I oppose Trump right now, for all those reasons and more.
Play my song again, Justin. Come on, let's do this. Here we go. Rachel Mercanish in the Afternoons. Yeah, baby. And let's do this. Let's rat out ICE where they are. Hang on. Somebody tell me where ICE is. We'll rat out their location like that station did in California. Like AOC did. Sorry, I can't do it. This is like that scene where Superman just takes his glasses off to Lois and looks at her. And he's just like, I can't be Clark Kent anymore. It's too stupid. Guy's a dork. Guy's a doofus.
I like to believe that people tuned in to the YouTube video midway through. They saw you take the hat off. They saw you take the glasses off. Like, oh, wow, it was Rich the whole time.
I'm sorry. I just can't do it. I could fake it for 10 minutes. Not even 10 minutes. I couldn't fake it as long as Sally did. All right, 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zeoli. I do have Bernie. I have Rod Kennedy. I got lots of things. And I also have a pink slip. Somebody just slid under the studio door. I don't know what that means. I'm not sure what that means. Maybe it's a car title. Could be a car title. All right, listen, Dr. Mike Veneria, you got to smile in life. I tell you that all the time. Smiling is so important to all of us. And you need a great smile. That's why you got to go see my buddy, Dr. Mike Veneria, at Veneria Dental. Now, Mama Zeoli first discovered Dr. Mike for our family, and now the whole Zeoli crew goes. I go, and Bridget goes, Patrick, Claire, Reagan. But his specialty, he's the master of implant dentistry. That's what he's known for, dental implants. That's why for 10 consecutive years, doctors, other dentists have recommended Dr. Mike to their patients. So if you've had an opinion for complicated dental work, get a second opinion with my man, Dr. Mike Veneria. You'll find, just like I did, that Dr. Mike is so dedicated to your care and expertise. So just go to VeneriaDental.com. Two locations to serve you, right over the bridge in Cinnaminson and Woodbury. And if you're thinking to yourself, Zeoli, why would I go over the bridge to a dentist? It's because it's worth going to the best, not necessarily the closest. Trust me on this. Who you go to for your medical care in life matters. VeneriaDental.com. Dr. Mike Veneria, VeneriaDental.com.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to four different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we got a crazy show for you today. Sometimes the show just go off the rails. What can I tell you? I opened the show today with a very passionate monologue on the greatest threat to our freedom and liberty, and that is, without question, the deep state, the shadow government that is in control of this country, and that is what the president, Elon Musk, Doge, Vice President Vance, the entire cabinet is dedicated to fighting, and that is why there is such pushback from the left. Because for so long, these people have been able to get rich by hiding their corruption in plain sight, hiding it in plain sight with just so much waste. And people just got used to saying, you know what? The government spends a $1 billion for a hammer. Who cares? It wastes money. And those days have to stop. It needs to end. But I want to share with you what J.D. Vance had to say in Europe, because I think this is really critical. And sometimes this doesn't get enough. So he spoke at the Munich Security Conference. And the greatest way to prevent tyranny is freedom of speech, because you can criticize your government. The founders very much believed in that. If you were to go back in the DeLorean to the 1790s and the early 1800s, you would see lots of political cartoons lampooning presidents. They had tried different things to try to crack down on that stuff, but ultimately it didn't work because of the First Amendment. So we have gone on to make fun of our presidents, members of Congress, and senators. And that's why I believe we've been, for the most part, a free country. You could not make fun of Adolf Hitler, Pol Pot, Stalin, Justin Trudeau's dad, none of those people without serious, serious consequences. That's two. Boom, I'm on a roll here today. All right, so let's play this. J.D. Vance in Munich. This is cut number five, Sean, part one.
When I look at Europe today, it's sometimes not so clear what happened to some of the Cold War's winners. I look to Brussels, where EU commissars warn citizens that they intend to shut down social media during times of civil unrest the moment they spot what they've judged to be, quote, hateful content. Or to this very country, where police have carried out raids against citizens suspected of posting anti-feminist comments online as part of, quote, combating misogyny on the internet, a day of action. I look to Sweden, where 2 weeks ago the government convicted a Christian activist for participating in Quran burnings that resulted in his friend's murder. And as the judge in his case chillingly noted, Sweden's laws to supposedly protect free expression do not, in fact, grant, and I'm quoting, a free pass to do or say anything without risking offending the group that holds that belief.
Okay. All right. He's right. And he's getting criticized for that because he dared to tell Europe you're cracking down on speech. And I'll tell you the reason why. Because the left has always looked at Europe as Big Brother. Not like Big Brother in the George Orwell sense, but they admire. They want to be like Europe. And they love the idea of cracking down on hate speech. They love the idea of cracking down on disinformation or misinformation. But let's understand something. You know, since they keep bringing up Hitler, let's just take a fun little trip back into 1930s Germany. If you were in Berlin in the late 1930s and you were to criticize the Führer, or you were to criticize the German government, the Nazi party, I should say, really, because it was no longer the German government, it was the Nazi party, that was a crime. If you were to suggest, for example, that the Aryan race was actually not the pure race, that would be considered disinformation in the eyes of the Nazi regime. See, my point is that whoever's in charge, I don't like making Nazi comparisons, but since Margaret Brennan did, I have to counter with that. Whoever's in charge gets to determine what is hate speech and what is disinformation or misinformation. So it's asinine of Margaret Brennan to then come back and say freedom of speech led to the Holocaust. If you were in 1930s Berlin, there's a great book to read about Berlin, and it's called In the Garden of Beasts, and it's all about how the Nazi party was rising up, the internal battles within the Nazi party between the SS and the SA and the German army, and it's a fantastic read, and it's about the United States ambassador to Germany, and his daughter winds up falling in love with the guy who's the head of the German secret police? It's on the tip of my tongue. The what?
SS?
Yeah, no, not the other one. The Gestapo. Gestapo.
Oh.
And the battles between the Gestapo and the SS and the SA. And the point is that the freedom of speech was soon gone in Berlin. And every artwork that depicted anything other than was taken down. Nazi banners were hung everywhere. Christian symbols were gone. Certainly Jewish symbols were gone. That's a preposterous, asinine thing for Margaret Brennan to suggest. But let me come back through that. This is J.D. Vance now, cut number six.
Most concerningly, I look to our very dear friends, the United Kingdom, where the backslide away from conscience rights has placed the basic liberties of religious Britons in particular in the crosshairs. A little over 2 years ago, the British government charged Adam Smith Connor, a 51-year-old physiotherapist and an army veteran, with the heinous crime of standing 50 meters from an abortion clinic and silently praying for 3 minutes. Not obstructing anyone, not interacting with anyone, just silently praying on his own. After British law enforcement spotted him and demanded to know what he was praying for, Adam replied simply, it was on behalf of the unborn son he and his former girlfriend had aborted years before. Now, the officers were not moved. Adam was found guilty of breaking the government's new buffer zones law, which criminalizes silent prayer and other actions that could influence a person's decision within 200 meters of an abortion facility. He was sentenced to pay thousands of pounds in legal costs to the prosecution. Now, I wish I could say that this was a fluke, a one-off crazy example of a badly written law being enacted against a single person. But no, this last October, just a few months ago, the Scottish government began distributing letters to citizens whose houses lay within so-called safe access zones, warning them that even private prayer within their own homes may amount to breaking the law. Naturally, the government urged readers to report any fellow citizens suspected guilty of thought crime. In Britain and across Europe, free speech, I fear, is in retreat.
Yeah, it's true. It's in retreat. And I think it's just ridiculous to understand and comprehend the fact that they're proud of the fact that they cracked down on speech. They're proud of that fact. And they think that's the way it should be with America. That we should do the same thing. Now, just to refresh your memory, what Margaret Brennan said, I want to go back to what her asinine point was about how freedom of speech caused the Holocaust and understand the battle that we're up against. Look, I've studied, I've always had a thing for tyranny and trying to prevent it. I love liberty. I really do. And you know me, I'm not afraid to speak out when conservatives do or advocate stupid positions that will ultimately lead us down a path of more authority for the government and less liberty and freedom. And I tell you all the time, you know, there's a lot of talk show hosts out there on this side of the conservative aisle that are afraid to do that. I'm not one of those people. So when Senator, what's his face? Not Josh Hawley comes out and says, we need to have the government have a social media registry. We need to be able to sue social media companies, age verification. I say you sound just like a Democrat, but with guns. And no, the answer is no. And I told you, don't fall for the two C words, children and China, which is what they use to try to trigger us to give up our liberty. No. These things don't happen overnight. The left would love to be able for you to sue social media companies. They'd love for you to sue Elon Musk out of existence. We have to stop and think and not get caught up in the whims of passion because a 16-year-old girl got bullied. I mean, it's terrible. It's awful. But the answer is not give the government more power to shut down social media because they're not going to do a damn thing about that 16-year-old girl. What they will do is turn their sights against Elon Musk and X and start shutting him down for disinformation, hate speech, et cetera, et cetera. You know that and I know that. That's what they will do. Now, they lie to us. They tell, oh, we're worried about a 16-year-old girl's self-esteem. They don't give a damn about a 16-year-old girl's self-esteem. What they want to do is have the power to be able to shut you down. And I'm not saying Hawley does, but Hawley falls into this trap far too often. Guys like him with that mindset. But it's absolutely asinine to suggest that freedom of speech led to the Holocaust. And in all my studies of tyranny throughout the ages, whether it's the tyranny in Russia or Soviet Union, China, Cuba, by Justin Trudeau's dad. Boom! Ah, he was almost out of the room. Damn it.
I hear all of them.
I know, but you were almost out of the studio. I saw the door open and almost shut. I would have got three across the goal line.
No, you got
a trifecta, as it's called.
You got one and a half. I'll give you one and a half.
A triple play, right? Isn't that what they say in hockey, Justin? A triple play?
It's a hat trick.
Hat trick. Triple play. That's what I meant. I almost got a hat trick.
No. Mm. If you'll excuse me, I have to call the White House back.
Oh, please.
Sorry.
Oh.
I'm in high demand right now, Rich. I don't have time for your
antics. Yes, please call the White House back. Look at you, Matt DeSantis. Please.
By the way, we will speak with Brooke Rollins for certain tomorrow.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. She's the
Secretary of Agriculture.
That's what I made. I made fun of that earlier. That's why they're doing that to punish me.
Just to
stick it right.
You know what? She wants to be on the show. She actually can't be there in person, so we're going to do it over the phone.
What the hell's the point of even going to Washington tomorrow?
We're
going to
have other interviews in person, but specifically, Secretary Rollins will be over the phone.
All right, fine. I'll look forward to that. That'll be nice.
Yeah, it will be. That should be good.
All right, I'll look forward. That'll be nice.
Now,
nice thing.
Now, if you'll excuse me.
Yes, please go call the White House back. Please.
Yeah.
Go call them and say hello. Tell them I said hello.
I'll let them know.
Hello, White House. All right. send them my best and say, hey, not for nothing, Mr. President. Thanks for not being there tomorrow. Shh. I don't want them to hear me. I don't want them to hear me. I'm going to get in trouble. Margaret Brennan, Sean, let's hit it. Cut 21. Sean, you got me? 21. There we go.
Standing in a country where free speech was weaponized to conduct a genocide. And he met with the head of a political party that has far right views and some historic ties to extreme groups. The context of that was changing the tone of it. And you know that the censorship
I have to disagree with you. Free speech was not used to conduct a genocide. The genocide was conducted by an authoritarian Nazi regime that happened to also be genocidal because they hated Jews and they hated minorities and they hated those that they had a list of people they hated, but primarily the Jews. There was no free speech in Nazi Germany. There was none. There was also no opposition in Nazi Germany. They were a sole and only party that governed that country. So that's not an accurate reflection of history.
See, exactly right. And that's the point. It's not an accurate reflection of history. Bottom line. And I'm glad that Marco Rubio pushed back on that. It's just amazing to me that CBS would go down this road. And it's the same reason why I get angry when I hear them and then talk about 60 Minutes. I mean, just salivating as German police go after people for posting memes. Just imagine the Gestapo or the SS going after people for posting memes that mocked Adolf Hitler, which they did, by the way. See, to go back in time, I'm only bringing up the Nazis because they keep bringing up the Nazis. And quite frankly, it's ridiculous. And some of these idiots on Twitter who make comments, they don't understand history. But if you were in 1939 Berlin and you made a meme that mocked the Fuhrer, good luck. Good luck to you. Because you would have the brown shirts kicking in your door and you would disappear. You'd be sent to a concentration camp. The concentration camps were not just for Jews. They were for lots of people who the state hated, including gypsies, Italians, gay people, and political dissidents, too. But 60 Minutes is there salivating over the fact that, oh, German police are kicking in the doors over memes. That's what they did in the 1930s. They literally did that. There was lots of opposition to Adolf Hitler in the 1930s. It just didn't work out well for them. There were lots of people who were opposed to him. There were factions within the various German secret police. There were people who were loyal to the president of Germany at the time, who was a total beta loser who gave up his power. But if you were a political enemy to Adolf Hitler, it didn't work out well for you, whether you were an elected official or not. So then to hear 60 Minutes salivating over this, how do people not understand their history? Germany should not want to go down this road. Cut 22.
It's 6:01 on a Tuesday morning. and we were with state police as they raided this apartment in northwest Germany. Inside, six armed officers searched a suspect's home, then seized his laptop and cell phone. Prosecutors say those electronics may have been used to commit a crime. The crime? Posting a racist cartoon online. At the exact same time, across Germany, more than 50 similar raids played out. Part of what prosecutors say is a coordinated effort to curb online hate speech in Germany.
Who decides what hate speech? Yes, Polish Catholics. Thank you, my dear. Polish Catholics as well. Why? Explain to me how it is these people don't understand that. If you did a meme that mocked any of those idiots back that ran Germany back then, Goebbels or Himmler or any of them, you would be shot. You would be arrested. You would be taken to a concentration camp. You'd be sent to prison. They would consider that to be racist against the German people, against the Aryan race. Like, do the people not understand this? It's the same thing if you tried that in Cuba. Justin Trudeau's father would not allow it. He would have you killed.
No, Pierre Trudeau would not have you killed.
I said Cuba.
You said Justin Trudeau's father, though.
Right. Cuba.
Pierre Trudeau.
What?
His father's Pierre
here
Trudeau.
Here we go, the official stance. Go ahead, do your thing.
All right, for legal purposes, the official stance of the Rich Zeoli Show is that Justin Trudeau is the son of former Canadian Prime Minister Pierre Trudeau and certainly not the son of Fidel Castro.
Allegedly. But I do have the proof of his mom having sex with Fidel Castro.
You don't have proof.
Well, we have a strong suspicion.
It's going to have to wait because we really have to go to break.
This is the smoking gun. Fine. When I come back, Margaret Trudeau, the smoking gun. Did she play Naked Twister with Fidel? Oh, you bet she did. We're coming right back.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.